literally up until a few minutes ago, is a lesson title. It's not, well, yes, a lesson that title from few words of Jesus Christ thrown into something that he was saying. The lesson was meant to be taken from the book of St. John, chapter 10, verse 34 through 36, when young Wilson came to the office to get the scripture. That's what I gave him, because when he knocked the door, that's what I was reviewing. That lesson would title, or is titled, "The Scripture Cannot Be Broken." A passage that most of us have read many times. I'm not sure how many of us have ever considered the implication and the application of what Jesus Christ was saying in that text. The scripture cannot be broken. There is a lot in that passage that, in fact, that was not even, that little phrase dropped in by Jesus Christ . It is called by grammarian that a parenthesis, and a parenthesis is when you drop in a word or a phrase or a statement in whatever you're saying as a help for explanation. But what you are saying would not be lessened if you didn't drop that in. So it's like when Jesus Christ dropped that in, the scripture cannot be broken in what he was saying to the Jews. You would still understand what Christ is saying if that were not dropped in. And yet, there is so much in that parenthesis that touches all time, all people, and all eternity. The scripture cannot be broken. But as I've said, I'm going to probably wait. And that is just part of it. Very important passage. There's so much in that passage. You will hear this lesson another time. The scripture cannot be broken. But Jesus Christ, people break the scripture. They trample it, they reject it, they throw it one side. What did he mean when he said the scripture cannot be broken? As I've said, God's willing, we will undertake that it will be at least two lessons. We will look instead on a lesson that deal with a subject that must be kept in mind at all times. And that is, in fact, some of the truth in this lesson has been shared here years ago already. But it's one of those lessons that I wish I would remember to, like, every 5 years to share it. Today's study of God's word look on the fact, the truth, that God can does not mean or imply that God will. You ask that I repeat what I've just said. Well, I will repeat it. We will be studying for the next 30, 45 minutes or so the subject that the Almighty God can do something does not mean that God will do what he can do. That God did does not mean that God will do again. We encourage you to learn as much from this lesson as you can. The scripture reveals that much of the miraculous, much of the extraordinary things which the Almighty God did in both Old and New Testament, that the Almighty God had specific, immediate, and localized reason for doing them. Brother Mitchell, could you repeat that? Thank you. What the scripture reveals is that a lot of the things done by God, especially miraculous things, in Old, in New Testament, that the Almighty God had specific reason for doing them. The Almighty God had localized reason for doing them. The Almighty God had immediate reason for doing them. In most cases, when it is pointed out that certain miracles or extraordinary things done by God in the past, the Almighty God is not doing those anymore. When you point this out, men and women usually resort to either God's power, that is, but God can, or they resort to what God had done, but God did it, not realizing that because the Almighty God can do a thing does not imply that God will do it. Or because the Almighty God did something in the past does not mean that God has the reason for doing it now. Men and women will also resort to, but God does not change. I agree with that 1,000 times. God does not change. That God is the same today as he was yesterday does not mean that God always does the same thing. That is a fact. Look at Hebrews 13:8. Hebrews 13:8 Read for me.
Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever.
That's right. We must keep that in mind. That is telling us God does not change. But that God does not change does not mean or telling us that whatever he did yesterday, he will always or must do it today. That passage too that the brothers just read in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, is talking about God's immutable nature. It's talking about who God is. That doesn't change. The Almighty God is not like we are. We change. Huh? Our features change. Just this morning. Well, not just this morning. I believe it is tomorrow will be our last child's birthday, Melanie. And what she has asked is that we find some of picture from when she was from a little baby and have it sent to her. And we have been looking and coming up on some picture. In fact, yesterday I found some, and Sister Mitchell were looking and laughing. How she was, how she looked when she was like 8 years old, 10 years old, 12 years old, and what. Now, you look on her then and look on her now, she has changed. So do we. God does not change. He remains the same. And the passage that the brother read doesn't mean that God worked the very same way all the time. It's only telling you that God's holiness and righteousness and immutability does not change. But men and women don't have this knowledge. Religious men and women don't have this knowledge. When the Bible tells us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, they are interpreting that to mean that what God did yesterday, he'll do it today, etc., etc. That's not so, because what the Almighty God did 2,000 or 5,000 years ago, the Almighty God at that time may have a specific reason then for doing that then. And that he never had another reason for doing that very same thing. This erroneous reason that what God has done, he will do. This type of erroneous, foolish reasoning is that God always does whatever he can do, and that the passage read in Hebrews 13, 8, means that whatever he has done in the past, he will do in the future. Look at some of the things that God did with Moses. The Almighty God never divide the Red Sea again. He might divide other things, but he had never divided the Red Sea again. That was done once. For you and me to want to go to Port Royal. And mark you, what I'm saying here, you have ignorant preachers who have tried it. If not that exact thing, many of you have heard about Bedouin from Augustown. Was it try to fly or something like that? You see, people are that ignorant. That you and I want to go to Port Royal, probably through problem with the passageway. For us to go downtown with a rod and command the sea to divide, that's ignorance. In fact, when the Bible talks about tempting God, that's one of what it means, you know. It simply means that when the Almighty God has placed in your hands and my hand natural way to get things done, but because of your lack of faith, you want to test God and see how close you are to God. You are trying, tempting God to bring miracle in your life. You will never have that miracle. For one, the Almighty God knows that that is a lack of faith. And that you are seeking a miracle to compensate for the lack of your faith. And you have many religious people doing that today. The miracles that God performed in Egypt, watch here, they were not done because Moses wanted them done. That's right. They were done because God had a reason for doing them. Moses was only an instrument. What Moses wanted or didn't want, even though he was a faithful servant of God, that had nothing to do with God doing those extraordinary miracles. As I've said, they were never repeated. The manna that God, the Bible referred to it as angel food, sent in the Israelite march to the promised land, in the wilderness, God fed them with manna. The Almighty God has not stopped providing for men and women. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? I mean today. The Almighty God is still providing for men and women the necessities of life. But the miraculous sending of food in the wilderness as God did it then, that was never repeated. Are we all there? That was never repeated. There was a need and a reason that God had for performing that miracle in the wilderness. Since then, God has not a reason for doing the same thing, even though providentially, God is still working. We're hoping that when things get back to normal, God's willing, there's a series of Bible Wednesday night Bible study lesson where we are going to be having a very profitable, enlightening, instructive series of Wednesday night Bible study on the fact that God is still working, not miraculously, providentially, so that everyone can have a better understanding in reference to the difference between God working miraculously and God working providentially. In a nutshell, God working providentially means God is still working behind the scene. When God works miraculously, it is conspicuous and dramatic, instantaneous usually. When God works providentially, it is sort of silent, but you can see the result. So God is still today, this moment, working, especially for his people. Look at John chapter 6, verse 31. John 6, 31.
Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them.
Stop there. Bradley, read again same verse. You read the right verse, brother.
Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat.
And verse, I think, 49.
Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead.
May I? Have you noticed something that is easy to overlook? How Jesus Christ, in telling about it, it's always spoken about in both verses as something of the past. Notice as Jesus Christ remind his audience, Matthew, when Jesus Christ was speaking here, this was some 1,000 about 300 years after those events. That's right. And Christ, watch here, Jesus Christ didn't talk like feeding people in with miraculous it happened here. No, Jesus Christ spoke like the ones it's happened here. So that event was never repeated. Not only that, as I've said, the Almighty God, there was a specific need for that miracle. There was a specific situation, and there was a purpose. Wait, not Moses, God's servant, had that specific need, situation, or purpose that God had for that miracle. Thus said, it was never repeated. Wait. It had nothing to do with whether God can or cannot, that it was never repeated, that Jesus Christ, when he spoke in John about 1,300 years after, that Jesus Christ didn't find a repeat of what took place in the wilderness, so he had to go right back here. It has nothing with. Is it that God's power become limited? No, God was just as powerful when Christ spoke and throughout the ages as when he performed those miracles. In fact, listen, Jesus Christ, telling us, I can, but I will not. Listen, Jesus Christ, in the book of Matthew, chapter 26, 52 through 54. Listen, Jesus Christ. Read, brother.
Then Jesus said unto him, put up again thy sword into its place, for all they that tear the sword shall perish with the sword.
Read on.
Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?
Wait, you get it? You know, Peter, blessed soul he was. What a man he was. When he saw how they were treating Jesus Christ, he drew his sword and cut off the high priest's servant's ears. Jesus Christ said to Peter, put up your sword. Of course, those who use the sword will perish by the sword. The gunmen need to understand that, truly. Whenever you use violence to achieve your end, you will be destroyed by violence. Anybody. Wait. That is a law that God placed in this universe. That whenever morally responsible human beings resort to violence, dishonesty, and whatever else to achieve their purpose, they, the very instrument they are using to achieve their purpose, they will be defeated or fail or be destroyed by that very means. He that used the sword will perish by the sword. Jesus Christ wasn't stating a new law or principle there. That is as old as the universe. And whenever you and I meet a young man or woman for that reason who turn to violence as a way of life in a wise way that you and I can, we need to sit them down and point out, if you keep using that means, it's going to destroy you. But Jesus Christ pointed out to Peter, read again, brother. Just not all of it, about verse 53, 54.
Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions?
What Jesus Christ is saying, I can call for miraculous defense. What is the point, Brother Mitchell, here? Jesus Christ is saying that I can doesn't mean I will. It's the same thing with miracles. We are the general world even. Well, the reason you see so many religious leaders today referring to themselves as apostles and telling you how much miracles they do and promise their member God will perform miracle for you. You are more correct when you tell the people God will work for you because he's working providentially. But miracle is a different thing. And it doesn't mean that God cannot perform miracles. It just means that God's will and purpose, this side or this point in the cross of Jesus Christ, God is not performing miracle anymore. Because wait, get this. It is a general principle of God that we have seen throughout the Bible, that God never used miracles to perpetuate things. The Almighty God make things with miracle. Are we all there? The human race started as a miracle. The way Adam and Eve were created was miraculous. But do you know what? Multiplication of the human race, biological law. that's the way it is in the zoological world among animals. That's the way it is in the botanical world among plants and trees. That's the way it is in the biological world among human beings. God made all of them miraculously, but did not intend for them to continue through miracles, but through laws. We must remember that. When men and women think that because God did miracles when he was here on earth, because God did miracles to get the church started, yes, to get the church started, does not mean he will use miracle to perpetuate the church. He set laws down, the laws of the gospel. And that's where you and I come in, you know. Where we will share God's truth with others so that men and women can be converted. Christ is in this passage just read telling, I can, but I will not. Two, man wanting a thing, a human being desire to have or to see something done does not force God's hand or determine whether or not God does. We cannot force God's hand. And we must always remember that. Wait. God's people, faithful servants of God, men and women, have a lot of influence on God. You didn't know that? When the Bible talks about that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much, that is telling us that the power of God is available to us. But wait, don't take that too far. As faithful as any of us might be, we cannot make God act against his will, his purpose, or his nature. So don't go asking God for something that he has already told you he's not going to give you or it's not good for you. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, 18.
But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him.
Read that again, brother.
But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him.
God placed members in the body as it pleased the members. As it pleased God. The passage is dealing with the different gifts that is given to the different people in the church. And remember, miraculous gift was given by the laying on of the apostles' hands. And the passage here is telling you that God does this not as it pleased the apostles, not as it pleased the church at Corinth, as it pleased the Almighty God. I'm still on the point that man cannot force God's hand. God has his own will, his own purpose, his own plan, which alone determine what the Almighty God does. God's people, the Christian, one of our prayers, one of our desires, must beg God for the strength and the wisdom to be submissive to God's will and purpose in our lives. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10 through verse 11. Ephesians chapter 1, 10 through 11.
That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined.
You're reading Ephesians 1, 10 through 11. Read, go on. You don't read 11 yet.
In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will.
You didn't miss that. According to what this passage is telling us is that the Almighty God work out things and he does things according to his own purpose. Not according to the purpose of angel. Not according to the purpose of the Christian whom God loves and cares for so much. But according to his own purpose. In fact, as we wrap up, what the Almighty God has revealed in his word is that sometimes for that very purpose, that is, that human being feel that they must have it, that God must do it for them, sometimes for that very reason, the Almighty God chooses not to do it. Are we all there? That's something else to keep in mind. Let me repeat that and give you one or two passages that we'll close with. For the very purpose that human beings feel they must have it and God must yield to their want, to their desire, for that very reason, the Almighty God may choose not to. Look at Matthew chapter 6, chapter 12, 38 through 42. Let us hear. Matthew 12, 38 through 42. Read.
Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it.
Notice, Jesus Christ was speaking right in the time and the environment where he did a lot of signs. Signs mean miracles. So it's not that Jesus didn't do any miracles then. He was doing miracles. But what they want is for him to do a miraculous act just to authenticate who he was. They could not believe him or didn't want to believe him on the sign and the miracles that he had already done. They want their own thing done. Jesus Christ is implying here that for that very reason, I'm not going to do it. What verse you start, brother?
Verse 39.
Read on.
For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth.
Read on.
The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here.
May I? What Jesus Christ is saying in what the brothers is very important for you and me. And it is something that you should teach human beings. What is that? What Jesus Christ is teaching them and us is if you and I cannot build faith and accept, build faith in God and accept the work of God by the ordinary thing that God is doing. What did you say, Brother Mitchell? The ordinary thing. If you have to depend on extraordinary thing to believe, you will never believe. Jesus Christ is teaching that here, that men and women who refuse to build their faith on the ordinary things that the Almighty God has done and is doing, then the extraordinary things they are waiting on to build their faith, that will never come. And they will die in their faithlessness. Brother, since we are closing, run to 16, 1 through 4. Quick. Say Matthew 16. Verse 1 through 4. And the same principle, that for the very reason that sometime a person is trying to force God's hand, not realizing that that cannot be done, everybody wants miracle. God is not working miracle today, but that does not mean that God is not working. God is still working today. He's doing so providentially. Let us hear it, brother. 16, 1, 2, 4.
The Pharisees, also with the Sadducees, came and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven.
Yeah. Wait. The Almighty God knows us in and out. Truly. Then and now. This is why sincerity is so important. Christian, not just sincerity when you feel you are dealing with God in prayer. As you deal with the church, one another, be genuine and be sincere. Because very few things has the Almighty God taken so dangerously negatively as insincerity. When the Almighty God killed Ananias and Sapphira, what they did looked sort of innocent to you and me. But it was insincerity. God doesn't take kindly to that. These men came to Jesus Christ. They were insincere. They were just trying and tempting Jesus Christ. Read, brother.
He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites.
That's right.
Ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times?
That's right. In other words, you see, these are people. Jesus Christ had been performing miraculous deeds among them. They should use all the great work Christ did during his two to three years of public ministry when he did miracles among them. But they did not accept that. They are always asking for something new. Jesus Christ said, you all claim you can read the sign of the sky and the cloud. Christ is saying, my God, look on the work I have done you. Read that to see that I am in fact the Son of God, or at least God is working with me. But what is the problem? They didn't want to believe in Jesus Christ, And they come up with all the reason they can to place obstacle, not realizing that you cannot place obstacle in God's face. You are just destroying yourself. And that the lesson I announced about the scripture cannot be broken, that's the principle in that when we get to that lesson. You cannot do anything with God's word and feel that you are getting away with something. God's word cannot be broken. The desire for miracle or signs is one of the sure manifestations of lack of faith, or one of the sure manifestations that you have rejected what God has given, that is the word, and that you are saying the word alone is inadequate. When the Almighty God has given us his revelation to guide our lives, to build faith, don't go to God expecting him to give you additional, because there's nothing that God going to give outside of the word, both the living word, Jesus Christ, and the written word, the gospel. That God can does not mean that God will. That God has done does not mean that God will do. When you speak to men and women about the fact that God is still working today, but he's not working miraculously, he's working providentially. When they come up with the miracles that Jesus Christ did and that they want miracle, you will remind them of this principle. If you are in our audience, you are not a child of God. You can come today giving your life to Jesus Christ so that Jesus Christ can begin working in your mind to transform your life. Remember, according to the book of Romans, chapter 12, to change our lives, Christ work with the mind. That's why the gospel. Are you in our audience? You are not a child of God. You can come accepting the truth about the working of God you have just been taught. And on that truth, you can come believing what the gospel teaches. You can come making a decision to repent of your sin. You can come with the willingness to confess Christ's name. You can come willing to submit to baptism for the removal of your sin. And if you're a child of God who has strayed, grown weak, on the verge of or has backslidden, there's no better time than now, which the Almighty God has given us to make a recommitment to him and to the gospel of Christ. Thank you.